Hello, this is Helen Stubbs for Galactic Chat, interviewing Canberra-based author Tracy O'Hara. Tracy is a talented, internationally published writer of paranormal thrillers and erotic romance. Harper Voyager has published 3 paranormal thriller novels in her Dark Brethren series, including the most recent one called Sin's Dark Caress, about a forensic witch confronting a terrible evil force. It's fun, fast-paced, and I loved it, and the friends I lent it to loved it also, so check out Sin's Dark Caress. Tracy also writes erotic romance as Tracy Summers, including the Mills and Boone title Tonight My Love, and I'm currently reading The Final Wish, which was published under Momentum's Hot Down Under imprint. Tracy was a finalist in 2 categories of the Australian Romance Readers Association Awards last year, and she's a lovely person who loves her writing community. Welcome to Galactic Chat, Tracy.
Thanks for having me, Helen.
So, our first question, can you tell me a bit about paranormal thriller as a genre and what it entails?
Paranormal romance and urban fantasy took off really big over the last few years, and probably a while ago now, and it's probably coming into that lull now where there's so much out there that people have moved on from it. But I like the danger. I guess I put more romance into the first one, and then the second one, the romance was less apparent. It just sort of, each story is different, so each story has, whether it's right for the book, the third one has pretty much very little romance. It's sort of only the...
But there is that tension there.
The tension, yes. It has the tension, and that's sort of... They're never actually really consummate or anything like that. So they kind of get together.
I was hoping for that in the next book, maybe. But but actually, with the Dark Brethren novels, are each of them about a different main character as well?
Yeah.
So that's...
So the first one was about Antoinette, and she was a vampire hunter, basically. And she was featured in the second book, but it was more about, oh, my God, I can't even think of my character.
Kit,
that's right. Kit and Raven, that's it.
Yeah.
And they were shapeshifters. While Antoinette featured it, she wasn't the main character.
But I like that, the way it shifts across the characters. It's in the same society.
It's purely because I get bored with, you know, if I'm reading a series, I usually only get about 3 or 4 in, and then I start to get bored with the character.
Yeah.
Depends on the series.
So can I ask, does paranormal thriller fit within urban fantasy, or are they slightly different?
I really don't know. I just wrote the books and the stories that I wanted to write, and they just kind of tried to fit it in.
Okay, so you just write what's coming from your heart, and then the categories are marketing side of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, and so how do you decide what to write at a certain time with those different areas that you write in? Is it just what you're feeling like, or...?
I haven't written very much for the last year or so.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on in my life that's not sort of really allowed me to do all that much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty much what I feel like, not what I feel like writing, especially at the moment, now that I don't have any contracts to write books. So I had the contract for the 3 Dark Brethren novels, but now I'm free from that contract. I can pretty much work on what I like to work on.
Yeah. So is that a bit of a relief to be?
It is.
Yeah.
It actually is, yeah. And not having that deadline, being able to write and... When I was working to a contract, it became
a job,
a lot of pressure and a job.
Yeah.
And I kind of lost that writing, the love of writing a bit. But now I can rediscover it, and I don't have to fit things into the same mold.
Well, while we're on that, maybe you could tell us a bit about what it's like, to the pros and cons of working with a big publisher in the US, like Harper Voyager.
It was great. I mean, I'm working with Harper Voyager, one of the biggest publishers in the world, and my editor.
A dream come true in some.
And my editor was Diana Gill, who was actually the executive editor of Harper Voyager in the US, and pretty much they've now sort of, they're like a world conglomerate. They're between the three, Australia, England, and the US. So being, working in that kind of, yeah, it's like, wow, I've reached it.
I've made it.
Yeah. I made it, yeah. It's a lot of work and a lot of pressure, and yeah, that's what comes with it. The one of the other cons is because they are in the US and I'm in Australia, it's very hard for me to, like, I couldn't do author appearances and stuff like that, you know.
So the promotion was hard.
Yeah, and I was asked to go to Comic Con a couple of times, and I would have had to pay to get there, and it's a long way and yeah, a lot of expense to go from Australia to San Diego for Comic Con. But if I had been in the US, I would have been there in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. And what about their marketing? Did they market for you in Australia to the same extent as in the US, or?
No, no. I'm pretty much an import as far as Australia is concerned. Right. They're very welcoming here, and they did treat me as one of their authors, and I got invited to all the events and things like that. But my main market was the US.
Yeah.
So they actually import my books to Australia on an import. So it's like I don't get actually published here.
Yeah. And speaking of, like, writing for US markets, your books have a bit of an American feel within them. How, what helps you create that?
Watching lots of TV and movies. Yeah. And learning is, it is different. The language is different. They, things like I had, she flicked on the torch, and in America, a torch is like a burning brand and not a flashlight. So terminology for things is different. It is kind of, you know, you have to be very careful about, you know, keeping that American voice if you're writing for an American market. It's good, like, I can get friends to read, you know, having an editor helps. She'll tell me what she doesn't understand, and they'll try and get all my Australianisms out. And
American beta readers, or?
Yeah, I have some of them.
It's interesting, isn't it, the way language changes across culture.
Exactly. You wouldn't think, but there were lots of things that I had to re-term or rewrite because people in the American market may not have understood it. One of the things I remember is I had one of my characters headbutting someone. And that's a very English and Australian thing, I realised, because
really?
my editor said, why did they headbutt? Why didn't they just punch him? And I'm going,
because that's what we do.
That's it. a headbutt is a lot less, you know, you can see a punch coming, you can't necessarily see a headbutt coming. So I wanted to use it for that.
It's called the Liverpool kiss, isn't it? The Liverpool kiss? Headbutt?
Yes, that's it. But I never realised how ingrained in our society that, you know, the headbutt. It's just simple things like that you just don't realise.
No, I would have had no idea.
That's right.
So with the Paranormal Society in the Dark Brethren novels, it's so extensive and real. You've got, like, good vampires and bad vampires and all sorts of different types of people. How did you develop that?
It's odd. People ask, it's kind of like when people say, where do you get your ideas from? And you just don't know. It's kind of like it was already there, built in my head, and just sort of as I was writing, it was coming out, and I was learning about it as much as a reader learns about it as they read it. I was learning as I wrote it.
Yeah.
By the time I got to my third book, a lot of it was settled in, like the different governmental structures and different societal structures, like the where was more of a, my shapeshifters, they were more of a paternal society where, you know, very sort of male dominated, whereas the witches were a maternal society.
I like the witches, they're cool.
The witches are good. I loved Since Dark Caress is my favorite of the three books. I think it's my best writing, and I the story was just more immediate, and I had such a fun time with it, like Neon Kisses and Yeah. The neon tears. And the little,
dragon is cool.
Yeah, I've always wanted to have a little dragon, and putting in the little dragon in my book, you know, some people were going, oh, that's a bit cheesy. And I'm going, no, I just want him.
It just works.
Yeah. And I loved Kedrak. He was such a character.
Yeah. And the cat, the relationship with the cat, Vincent and Kedrak.
Yes. Yeah. They're like two amigos kind of thing.
Yeah.
Getting into trouble together.
Can we talk a bit about how horror interacts with erotica? Because we've got sort of both in your work.
My work tends to go towards dark. It's not as dark as, say, really, like horror dark or dark fantasy dark, but I have that dark element because...
There is some horror, I think, in there.
but
it's not what you remember, though, either, when you think about your
book. I think horror writers would say, no, that's not real horror. It's all about perception. I think it's got horror elements in it, and so it's because I grew up reading Stephen King, and he was a big influence in my sort of the late teens and my early 20s. I devoured everything written by him as soon as it came out, sort of thing. Stephen King, Dean Koontz, and then I got into the whole fantasy with Raymond E. Feist and that whole action kind of thing. And when I was about 11 or 12, I started reading Wilbur Smith, and that's sort of like man's romance. It's the big adventures in Africa and going, you know, elephant hunting and all those sorts of things. So it was all sort of this kind of adventure, horror. It all influenced my writing.
Yeah, it came together in a melting pot. And
it did. It did. With horror and erotica, some people like it, some people don't. And I had quite polarized reactions to Tonight My Love, which has that bit
of... I really like that.
I know. People either love it or people either hate it. And I got one review that said she gave me a D-, and she said it was the best sex that, you know, she'd read in a long time, but the ending just kind of ruined it and warped her little brain, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And but then other people are going, I just found that twist really good. So
people just have to read it to find out, don't they?
They do.
Yeah,
they
go do. On, get Tonight My Love and read it. And no, it's a beautiful story. Has that been nominated for any awards?
No, I don't think it did very well at all. I don't know if the sales were all that great either.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's a piece. I enjoyed writing it. It was actually my first go at erotic fiction. That friend of mine, we dared each other to have a go at writing erotic fiction. Oh. So, and that was my first go. Although there's quite erotic scenes in Night's Cold Kiss, but this was sort of the short, pretty much pure sort of erotic focus stuff.
How long is Tonight, My Love? It's sort of is it a short story or?
No, it's not. Tonight My Love's about 5,000 words.
Yeah.
So it's really, really short, micro short.
Yeah. No, that's sort of a nice size to read as well. Short.
Well, it's also my first go at writing a short story. I hadn't done short stories before. Because I get so involved in my world and they become...
They get bigger and bigger and bigger?
Yeah, exactly. Because of that, I tended to steer away from short stories, but it's a different skill. In the end, I found I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, I think you did a fantastic job. That's great.
Thank you.
It was one of your... So, but when we're talking about things getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so your first draft of one of your novels, how would that tend to be quite long and you then cut it back or...?
No, I'm a very skeletal writer. I write the bare bones and then I add the layers in afterwards. So.
Right.
I probably, you know, for a 100,000 novel, I might come in at 70,000 to 80,000, and then I just sort of add to the scenes as I go along, and build in that layer and that emotion and anything else it needs.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I think it's the IT person in me.
Yeah.
Start out the base and then build upon the base. Yeah, that's it.
I've asked you about the horror scenes. Like, there are some grisly horror scenes, but they're quite digestible. I mean, even though some really bad things happen to a character. So how do you communicate that to a reader without
getting them off?
Yeah.
Making them physically ill? I really don't know how I do it, to be honest. I do it so that it feels right. And if I feel a bit icky about it, then I think readers are going to feel icky. So I make it and write it the way that I feel comfortable. Like one of my scenes in Night's Cold Kiss, where he's torturing her, and I thought maybe I went a bit far there, but people didn't really say much about it, so it was more in my head than anyone else's. So yeah, it's kind of, I balance it to my level of tolerability, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I enjoy doing those sort of dark horror scenes. They're good to kind of get a bit of angst out, you know.
Cathartic.
Yes, very cathartic. In fact, I killed one of my old bosses who gave me such a hard time. I killed her in a very, very violent and made her soil herself before she died, you know.
Is that one published or is that on the hard drive? Running on the
hard drive? Yes, it's in Death, Sweet Embrace.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a warning, isn't it? Be good to writers or they will
torture you. Yeah, that's right, or they'll kill you in print.
In their pages. And then you'll read their work and you'll wonder, was this about me?
I had no illusions that particular person was going to read my book, so okay.
Always send her a copy.
Well, that's true.
No, I better not do that. So, tell us about your first steps as a writer, your first manuscript.
My first manuscript, which is still sitting on my computer and my mother keeps nagging me to finish it.
Do you think you ever will? Will you ever?
I do. I really do want to. I love the story. It's kind of romance. It's more of a family saga than it is romance, sort of set in colonial times in Australia. And it's a great story and it's got some really, really great characters. But the problem is I wrote it before I actually learned how to write. And this was before, I mean, when I started, I was a complete and utter grammar, punctuation, totally challenged. I didn't do grammar in school. It was like, oh, well, all these rules, what the hell? I didn't know what a gerund was. I'd never even heard of it.
Yeah.
And next minute I'm learning how to, you know, what split infinitives were and how to do hanging participles. And
where did you learn all that, actually? Did you do a course or just?
No, basically it was through the Romance Writers of Australia because they taught me a lot of my craft and a lot about the grammar. I actually didn't do any official sort of courses or anything. I just did workshops at their conferences and joining critique groups and learning through that.
Yeah.
That's how I actually learned how to do it all.
Absolutely.
So that joining Romance Writers of Australia, even though I don't write straight romance and I do have a lot of romantic elements, but joining them was what shortcut my career to getting published because they were just so supportive and so focused on craft and on how to write and how to publish, and they're the most professional bunch of writers I've ever met.
I think I might have to join them.
Yes, they're brilliant. They're a little bit different now because it's bigger and they're still great. But we've got this whole new, this was before e-publishing and self-publishing became big.
So what year would this have been? 2005,
2006, 2007, yeah.
Okay.
And then I got my first contract by 2008. So I went from never having written anything in 2004 to having my first published contract in 2008, and that
great.
Was solely due to that organisation and support they gave me.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I've just held a conference in Fremantle, which I didn't get to, but
I was reading the tweets.
Yes, me too.
Following it on Twitter.
And I've been following the one in New Zealand on Twitter, and they're staying in the same hotel as the All Blacks, and it's like 100-plus romance riders and the All Blacks rugby team. It's
that is a story waiting to happen.
It is.
So that's where we met at convention, didn't we? And that's where we see each other, at conventions.
Complex, yeah.
What do you love about conventions and
I love getting to talk to other writers. I love talking to people who know my language. We're like a secret society of with our own sort of little language that other people who don't write just don't understand.
Language, habits, needs, we understand each other, I guess.
Exactly, and we understand that someone gets so focused in their writing that they don't talk to you for 3 months because they're working on a deadline, and you don't get offended because, you know, that's what's happening. Yeah. Whereas non-writing friends will tend to go, well, you haven't spoken to me or called me, and I'm going, but I'm busy. Yes, and just catching up and seeing what everyone's doing and learning what's out there. It's just such fun.
It is fun. So writing community, it helps you learn. It's great to hang out with.
They get you. Yeah. They get you. They understand.
They do.
And the speculative fiction feeds my inner geek as well. So, you know, I've got that whole geeky side. So the sci-fi, the love of sci-fi, the love of fantasy. Yeah. And they understand that as well. So,
have you seen or read any sci-fi lately that you've loved?
I saw Oblivion last night.
Oh yeah,
I'm not sure I loved it.
Okay,
it sort of went on for not a lot happened. It was all right.
Yeah, I kept falling asleep in it, but I do want to finish watching it. So that's more me, I think.
Sort of put it on and then did the internet and Facebook and stuff while I was watching it. So it still didn't lose sort of track of where the story was going. It was just, I haven't read any for a while. I'm actually writing one as well at the moment. So
yeah, well, tell us about what you're working on now.
I'm actually working on two things at the moment. I'm working on a science fiction erotic romance called Tequila Moon. And
great title.
Yes, and it's so much fun, and I love it. And both the works that I'm doing at the moment are my first go at first person, and I'm just finding my first person voice, which is really exciting. I'm loving it. Tequila Moon, sort of, it's not a space opera. It's more like a space pick up the guy on Earth and then run for your lives kind of action jaunt type thing through space.
A little bit like Asimov, kind of, but with romance. Or...
maybe. And lots of sex.
Can't wait to read it.
The second thing I'm working on is the non-romance serial killer crime thriller set in Canberra. So, yes, and that is also, it's fun in a different way. I get to do that horror thing. I do that gruesome kind of stuff and learning about the characters and research at the moment, because I have a police officer who's in the AFP who worked in homicides that I can ask questions of, and my character is a criminologist turned crime author, so I've got criminologists that I can speak to at the ANU, and we've got the Australian Institute of Criminology here as well, so it's all lots of research. It's very fun. There's no paranormal. There's no romance. Okay. But it sounds
fun that it's set in Canberra, so you can...
Yeah. So I can go to places. The first body that's discovered in the first chapter is in Commonwealth Park, which is where they hold Floriard.
Right.
And so, you know, I've got all these places that I've gone and visited and scoped out. So where am I going to dump this body? Where am I going to leave it? And, you know.
Yeah, I hope you walk around muttering to yourself, where am I going to leave the body?
I said on Facebook, I'm walking around Commonwealth Park looking for my body dump.
I love it. The things that writers say and think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when do you think you'll have those done, and what will you do with them when they're done?
I'm taking my time. The sci-fi is a novella. It's only going to be about 25 to 30,000 words. So,
yeah.
And I'm about 5,000 words into that one. The other one, the crime novel, is probably going to take a lot longer. I'd like to have at least a first draft, or at least a fairly good working first draft by Christmas time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my job is sort of pretty much taking up a lot of my brain power and a lot of my time at the moment. It's just getting in the way. Yes, we do have to eat.
Yes.
Buy nice things.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to reading those when they are done.
I'll probably try and aim the crime thriller at one of the publishers here in Australia, like HarperCollins or Allen and Unwin. I think it would fit in well with them. It's probably better. They're probably better at doing that than they are at romance. Romance is more American market, but they're opening up now, but I think I'll aim that one here. The other one I'll probably send over to the US, and Alora's Cave, which is an erotic romance publisher, I'll probably send it there and see if they'll take it.
Great.
So, options.
Sounds good. Well, they're all my questions, I think. Is there anything else you can think of that you want to tell us about? Or
what am I reading now? How about that?
Yes. What are you reading?
I'm reading crime. I'm reading Tara Moss's Fetish at the moment, and I'm also devouring Lee Child's Jack Reacher books.
I love Lee Child's Jack Reacher.
Oh, my God, they're so good.
He's a spunk, isn't he?
He is. He's just cool,
Did you start with The Killing Floor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I saw the movie first. I saw the Jack Reacher movie with Tom Cruise, which
have you got a bit of a thing for Tom Cruise?
I don't actually. I actually don't like him at all.
No, I don't like him either.
No, and it takes me a long time. And then my friend.
How was he as Jack Reacher?
I actually thought, you know, he's nowhere near as tall and as powerful as Jack is, but
absolutely.
I actually think he got the attitude and the whole. Okay. Persona, not too bad. I actually didn't mind it.
Is it worth a watch?
I read it before I started reading Jack Reacher books, so I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it. But it got me into thinking, well, that was kind of fun. I might have a look at the books.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's wonderful, isn't it? So long as people are getting into the books. He's got a very clean writing style, hasn't he?
He has.
So much happens and...
And I just love that Jack just takes everything in his stride and he just completely, you know, has a handle on everything. Nothing seems to flap him at all. And he gets
meets
down
a girl.
Late. Yeah. He does.
There's always a girl.
Yeah. There's always a girl. So, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I just think he's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So if I could do a female version of Jack Reacher, that would be good. But unfortunately, I don't think my character is going to – she's going to be a bit more emotional than Jack is.
Yeah. Well, I guess we – to some degree we have to fit within those archetypes, don't we, in characters and
– We do. Well
– Would that be appealing in a female character to be as – I can see how it would be, actually, as calm and cool as Jack.
I kind of want a bit between her and between Jack and, I can't think of a good one. Miss Marple, maybe. But sexier and younger. McCady in Tara Moss's books.
Yeah.
She's sort of, she's pretty cool as well. She's pretty cool. Which I'm enjoying, but I just wish it had a bit more. It's kind of a little bit short and a little bit fast. I think things happen a bit too fast.
Right.
And it would have been better to have a bit of a build-up to some of that. But I'm hoping that in her next book it will. So, but I liked it enough to read the next book.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're all done. So Thank you for talking to me. This has been Helen Stubbs with Tracy O'Hara for Galactic Chat. If you want to get to know Tracy and her work better, just check out her webpage, which is under her name, and look for her in your favourite ebook store. She's also on Twitter at Tracy O'Hara. Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Helen.